Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's just start out. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Thank God for the Word. Are you excited about God's Word? I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What I'm going to talk about this morning, it may be a series. We'll just see if we go any further, but I think it probably will be. I don't think that we'll be done today, but we'll see. We're going to talk about the way of escape. The way of escape. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, we're going to talk about temptation. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Great concern. Like you don't have any. But we're going to talk about it. Amen? Because, you know, a lot of times we think, you know, when we think of temptation, we think, you know, solicitation from the devil to do terrible, bad, evil things, you know, sexual sins or lies or, you know, whatever. But, you know, the devil tempts you not to do a lot of things. He tempts you not to pray, not to feed on God's Word, not to worship, not to be full of joy. He'll tempt you with a lot of things, you know. You know, he tempted Jesus, you know, turn these stones into bread, you know. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple, you know. Fall down and worship me. Well, we know that's wrong, right? So, you know, a lot of times we think about the area of temptation. You have to broaden your thoughts a little bit and realize that, you know, anything that's the will or plan of God for your life that the devil tempts you not to do, that you have a solicitation not to do it, that is the devil. Amen. And so let's broaden our thinking on this and don't just think, well, you know, I'm a good little Sunday school kid and I don't ever do anything wrong. Well, you just lied. Okay. How many know that? You know, a lady stood up in church. One guy said one time, he said, this lady stood up in church and she said, I haven't sinned in 2 years. He thought, you just did, woman. You just lied. You know. Because a lot of times we do things that we don't even, you know, till we grow, we don't even know is wrong, you know. Amen. So let's just look at this. All right, are you ready? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to read one verse there, and then we're going to move over to the book of James. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm reading out the New King James this morning. It says, no temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. Everybody say common to man. What's that mean? It means the devil just can't go out and his vast resources and pull in something you don't know about. I mean, everything he tempts you with, you know exactly, you know about it, right? And you know the results of it. You know what it'll produce. You know the problems it'll cause. So he's not bringing anything to us. And, you know, he just snuck on me and I didn't know anything about that. And so forth. You know, the devil never tempts me to, you know, hack into somebody else's computer, you know, or hack into, you know, the city website or something like that. You know why he never tempts me to do that? Because he knows I'm not smart enough to do it. It's not common to me, right? So he knows there's no point in bringing that up to him because he ain't got the brains to do it, you know. So don't y'all laugh at me, you know. I'm more advanced than some of you, but not as far as others, you know. And so, you know, the devil, he does things that are common to you. You know about it. Come on. You know it's wrong. And you know the end result of the thing. All right? So it's common to man, but notice this, but God is faithful. Thank God he's faithful. Wow. But faithful to what? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. Everybody say the way of escape. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. The way of escape. There's always a way of escape because God's faithful. Who will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So there's nothing, you know, if you're a little older, you remember years ago, there used to be, many years ago, probably this is 1970s, I think, there used to be a comedian called Flip Wilson. What was Flip's big saying, famous saying? The devil made me do it. How many know the devil's not making anybody do anything? Think about it. The madman of Gadara, man, he had a legion of demons in him, but when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him. I'm sure if the devil could have stopped him from doing that, he would have done it. But he couldn't stop him. Now, you know, he had some control in his life. Don't misunderstand me. But he didn't have total control.
Come on.
Amen. So, you can bear it. Has anybody ever been tempted? But here's the thing that I think, you know, that we have to understand. We're going to talk about this. I just want to just read the scripture as a foundation, but I want to spend some time over the book of James. But what I want to talk about is you know, right now, is this, that God's faithful even in temptation. Now, what does that mean? Sometimes when we're tempted, we think God's a million miles away. But He's right there with you, right there in it, not causing it. God never tempts us with evil. But He's there to help you, right in the midst of it. You say, well, you mean God? See, let me explain something to you, and we'll talk about some of this in just a little bit. But God knows that the Bible says that He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities or our weaknesses. That Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, but He was tempted so that He could be a compassionate, merciful high priest.
Yes, amen.
He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like for the flesh to have pressure put on it. Right? Then the Bible say Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What does that mean? Well, was He tempted with every sin? Well, no, that's not what that's saying. All points, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. See? Because you got to know this about Jesus. Jesus didn't have any wrong desires in Him. I'm going to shock you. You and I do. I thought we got born again. We did, but I'm going to show you something here. That doesn't mean they're all gone. Right? See, the devil, there's such things as legitimate desires and there's such things as illegitimate desires. How many know eating is a legitimate desire? How many know eating the whole cake is illegitimate? Right? I mean, that's probably... Yeah. There's always one in the crowd. You got it. How many know that... It's going to get quiet on this. How many know sexual desire is from God? Right? See, I had an evangelist friend. He said, a pastor called me one time. He said, I got a problem in my church, brother. He said, what is it? He said, all the boys are chasing girls. He said, you ain't got no problem. Thank God they're not chasing the boys. Now, you're supposed to be sanctified and holy, but the way I understand it, a man shall leave his father and mother and cling unto his wife.
Right?
So, you know, that's male and female. So God must have made it that way, right? In other words, He made men to be attracted to women, women to be attracted to men.
Right.
All right, so there isn't anything wrong with that, but how many know He gave us the guidelines for it, didn't He?
Right.
He said, you want to have sex with that girl, marry her.
That's right.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
So is that a legitimate desire?
Yes.
Some of you are just like, I ain't touching the sex thing, just move on. But I don't know whether you know this or not, but God's the one that invented this. The devil perverted it, but God meant it to be between a husband and a wife, a marriage. So that would be a legitimate desire. So see, there are legitimate desires, but Satan can get you to try to fulfill them in an illegitimate way. See, and that's the only thing he had to work with Jesus was to try to get legitimate desires, Jesus to fulfill legitimate desires in an illegitimate way, see? That's the only thing he had to work with. We're a little different because we still have illegitimate desires in us. But even in the midst of that, see, God knows that and He's with us, and when temptation comes, He makes a way. Did y'all hear that? If they're in the way, He makes a way to escape. We just got to look for the way to escape. You know, sometimes the way to escape is just run. Right? See? Right? See, if you have a problem with ice cream, Now, let me make this clear. Ice cream's not a sin. You heard that. A whole gallon is.
At one time.
At one time. My gosh, this is a tough crowd this morning. Do I have to be perfect on everything I say? I have to explain everything. We're going to be here a while if I explain everything in the minute detail. How many know, if you have an issue with that, how many know you probably should stay out of the ice cream aisle at Schnucks? Right? You should avoid it. See, the Bible said flee sexual immorality. Flee youthful lust. Just stay out of that gravitational pull, period. Just have some smarts about you. See, if you listen, young people, if you're in the back seat of a 57 Chevy with the opposite sex and you're making out, you listen, you've done gone too far.
Amen.
You got to stop that train before it starts. Right, you got to, this is good preaching, y'all looking at me kind of weird, like 57 Chevy. I had a 57 Chevy, I wouldn't be in the backseat if I had an auction, but I'm older, all right? So we think about this. If you have problems with ice cream, you may have to stay out of Schnucks ice cream aisle. If you have a real problem, you may have to stay out of Schnucks. You may have to avoid driving by Dairy Queen. But you got to determine whatever you got to do. Right? Whatever way of escape you have to take, I'm going to take that way of escape. Amen. Amen. But the thing that I wanted you to see out of this verse is sometimes you can get the idea that, man, I'm under temptation. I'm on solicitation here to do wrong. And I know he's 1,000 miles off from me because he's kind of upset with me and disappointed with me because I have this desire inside of me to do this wrong. No, the Bible said he's there to help you. He's there to get you out of it. He's there to show you the way of escape. He's there to make sure the devil doesn't put anything on you that you can't handle in the area of temptation. In other words, he can't bring anything out of his vast knowledge and throw it at you, trip you up and got you. You know, you it's common to you. You know what it's about. You know what will happen if you do it. So that's comforting for me to know that no matter what pressure is put on me, I can get out of it. Jesus sweat blood, man, under pressure. Well, that's what Paul said to the church or the Hebrews. He said, you haven't resisted unto blood striving against sin. Amen. So you just quit looking so sanctimonious and realize that you are no different than anybody else. Now let's go to the book of James, all right? James chapter 1, because I want to show you something out of here, because this helps us. I think if we expose the devil and we expose temptation and we see there's a way of escape, it just helps us to fight this better. And to understand, you know, and as we grow older, as we mature in the Lord, and as we fill ourselves up with the Word, we start cleaning stuff out of our lives, and there's not as many illegitimate desires in there. We've gotten rid of those. We've been sanctified by the Word. It set us apart. They're still buried there, but they don't have any power any longer. You understand them? It's not like they can't be resurfaced if you quit. We're keeping your mind renewed, but they're down at the bottom now. They're just no longer have any power over you any longer. Amen. Now, you know, you can be lax and quit, you know, doing what you need to do, and then they come to the surface and have power again because they're still in there. But I just want you to know, you and I, we have a way of escape every time they come. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Everybody say endures it. How you know sometimes it doesn't just go away immediately. Right? You have to endure it. But notice it doesn't say blessed is the man who doesn't have any temptation. Thank God there's a day coming when we're not going to have temptation. But right now, in the state we're in, with the bodies we live in, we still have temptation. Amen. See, one of the things that you have to realize is being tempted is not a sin. If it was a sin, then Jesus sinned because he was tempted. But Jesus was tempted and he didn't sin. Adam and Eve were tempted in the perfect state in the garden. The Bible talks about the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. And it says they were tempted, and they were heroes of faith, and they were tempted. So there's none of us getting out of this life without temptation. So it's not blessed as he who doesn't have it. I wished, you know, I wish I didn't have it. How many? See, that shows your heart's right. You know what I'm saying? But, and there's a day coming, but, you know, that's when we get our glorified bodies, right? Amen. That are no longer subject to that. Amen. So he says, blessed is a man, verse 12, blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved. Now, you know, the Old King James, I usually read out of, says when he's been tried, but that word tried, it actually means been approved. He'll receive a crown of life, which the Lord's promised to them that love him. So listen now. How many know temptation's a test? How many know for you? I don't know what it's like in school now. I guess it's the same way. But when I was going to school, you had to actually pass the test to get passed. You know what I'm saying? They didn't just move you on because they want, you know, just because we're just being fair. We don't want to hurt your feelings. Back in those days, they'd hurt more than your feelings. We had a lot less problems in school, too. Yeah, the last paddling I got, I was a senior. After you get out of high school, they can't do it any longer. How many know that? I mean, you're done with it, you know. That was for skipping class for 30 days. And I got lied to. You know, the principal said, now, if you go back to class, we won't paddle you. He was going to paddle me, you know. He said, but if you go back, I won't paddle. I went back, and the teacher paddled me. So I thought, we need to communicate a little better here. And this wasn't like some wimpy, you know, teacher that's about to fall over. This was like one of the football coaches. You know, the jock, you know. We used to have one guy in our school, man. I'll tell you what. And you'll remember this guy, Mr. Krause. He was like a, drafting teacher. And he only had one arm, you know. And kids would just, man, he'd go to jail for this today. But kids would just, because he could swing that paddle like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he could bring you up off the ground. Mr. Krause might have only had one arm, but it was a good one. I'm telling you. And kids would just dare, let's just see if we can take it. So they said, give me a lick. Let's just see if I can take it. Just be, prove how manly you was. It's really how stupid you are, you know. And he'd oblige you, come on, whap. You know, I thought, boy, today, boy, things have changed. But you know what? Listen, I'll tell you what. I think we had a better classrooms in those days. It was like I said, you know, my father, he didn't know about timeout. He knew about knockout. I'm not talking about child abuse. You know that. But, you know, the Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your child. You're going to try to be your child's friend. That's going to be a rough hoe. Rough road to hoe. You better be their parent. Amen. Friends don't tell on friends, but parents will spank you all over the place. They'll tell everything. Amen. Now, so he said, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall, or when he's approved, he'll receive the crown of life with the Lord's promise to those that love him. So you have to pass the test. See, you know, Jesus passed the test, didn't he? Adam failed the test. But Jesus passed the test and he became Lord of the, you know, the Lord of Lords. Right? So we have to understand temptation is a test. It's a test. And when I was going to school, you had to pass the test to get promoted. Amen. And you had to make a certain grade. You know, you had to make a, I don't know what it was. You had to get a 70 above or something like that to move on. Well, the same thing's true spiritually. You got to pass some tests, brother and sister. Before God can promote you, you have to prove yourself faithful. Amen. Amen. Now, so he said, verse 13, look at this. He says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God, notice, God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. How many know God's not tempting you? But each one, and notice this, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. King James uses, though King James uses the word lust, and is enticed. So, what's James saying? Well, there has to be something in this person that wants to do wrong. Right? Anybody ever catch a mouse? Well, I'm going to tell you how to do it out in the country, the way we did it. You know, we set traps for them. Right? Remember that? I haven't used those in a long time. You pull that back, and, you know, you put the little rod in the slot there. But before you do that, you put something on that trigger. And cheese or peanut butter. They like both. So you put something there. Now there's a trap to get the mouse, right? You want him out of the house. If you stay out of the house, we're good. I didn't set traps outside. Right? See, that's what the cat's for. Unless they're lazy like ours was. Eight mice come down and go around in the garage and just lay there? That's an overfed cat. And you don't think I didn't tell her about it? I said, well, this is your job. They don't just walk in front of you and you let them go. But anyway. So you'd set the trap. Now what is it? Well, see, that's called enticing. You're enticing the mouse into the trap because there's something inside the mouse that likes cheese. Temptation's the same way. The devil can't tempt you with something that you don't already like or want, whether that's legitimate or illegitimate. The devil cannot tempt me today to go out and overeat on Caesar salad. There's nothing in me. You follow that? See, there has to be something. I'm not going to be tempted by that because I have no desire for that. Now, something else I might have some desire for, but that I don't have a desire for. But other foods I would have a desire for. See, this is what James is saying. There's something inside of us. Amen. There's something inside of us, and the devil entices us into the trap. I'm going to talk to you about how to change a lot of that stuff inside of you. Amen. Now, all right, so he says, verse 14, but everyone is tempted when he's drawn away of his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full blown, it produces death. So there's the process. See, there's something inside of you that the devil can entice. And when you yield to it, it conceives sin, and sin, when it reaches its full destiny, it produces death. See? Now, let me talk about this, okay? How many know when we got born again, our nature was changed? Right? I don't believe in this schizophrenic new creature. See, what do you mean by that? Well, there was teaching years ago about how, you know, part of us, well, I try to explain it where you can understand. Years ago, there was teaching when we were kind of half and half. But no, when we got born again, we were made a new creature. That's right. Right. Now, here's the thing we have to understand. Our flesh was not made new yet. Right? See, the Bible talks about we're going to receive a glorified body. But that, you don't have that yet. So Paul, now listen, this is not just me saying this. I want you to listen to the scripture. Paul said, he told the church in Rome, he said, I know that in me dwells no good thing. But then he explained himself. He said, that is in my flesh. There's nothing good in my flesh. He also told the church at Rome, he said this, he said, I speak after the manner of men because of the weakness of your flesh. You have a weakness inside of you. Boy, it is quiet right now. But you have a weakness inside you. What's the weakness? Well, the weakness is simply this. It's your flesh. It hasn't been redeemed yet. You haven't received that. Now, are you trying to tell me that my flesh wants to do things wrong? Well, listen now. Listen. What did Paul say? Paul said, I keep my body. Why would he have to keep it under? Because it was going to do things that were wrong. You read that scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, I keep my body under and I discipline it. That's what he means. I discipline it, I keep it under, lest it causes me to be disqualified. So what is he saying? He's saying, my flesh wants to do things wrong. So we have a weakness that's called the flesh. So we have to know that. See, we understand that. But here, I'm going to read the scripture if we have time. I'm going to show you that's no excuse. Because something has happened to us. We've been born again. But here's the thing. You need to know this, that you, the real you, doesn't want to sin.
That's right. Come on. That's right.
It's the part of you that hasn't received the fullness of its redemption yet, which is your flesh. The Bible says that the Spirit will help us in our weakness. Hallelujah. He'll help us. Amen. So he says, when sin, now listen to this, when sin is fully conceived, how many know it brings forth death? I wonder how many times it brings forth death. Come on, are you out there this morning? Or am I really that boring today? Maybe I am. I don't know. I'm trying not to be, but anyway. Well, I just think people sometimes, they don't want to talk about certain issues and temptations. Like, I don't have any temptations. Well, yeah, you do. We all do. So, but here's the thing. Here's what you got to know. So here's what you have to know. You have to know some things. You have to know that the devil always lies about temptation. The very first temptation was in the Garden of Eden, and the devil told Eve, he said that when she saw, he told her that tree was one to make you wise, one to be desired, the fruit of the tree. And when she saw that it was good, for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to make one wise. How many know, he always shows you the good part. He doesn't show you the end part.
Right.
You know, the Bible says that sin has pleasure for a what?
Season.
A season. Everybody say pleasure.
Pleasure.
Who's getting pleasure out of it? Well, if you're born again, the real you on the inside didn't get any pleasure out of it. He gets grieved. It's your flesh. And it says it's only for a season. See, a lot of times the devil says, well, if you'll do this, this will bring you joy. No, it won't. It might bring the flesh pleasure, but true joy comes by obeying God. Right. Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity, and he was anointed more than anybody with the oil of gladness or joy.
Right.
So it doesn't bring joy to you. You can forget that. It's not going to happen. So what I'm saying to you is simply this, that when the devil points the... You know, when he brings temptation to you, all he shows you is, I want to say the good part, but there's nothing good about it. But all he shows you is the side that looks good. He doesn't show you the end results. How many believe that if Eve would have seen the end result, she probably wouldn't have done what she did? But the devil didn't show her that. Right? How many people... You know, have stepped out on their spouse for 15 minutes of pleasure and then grieved for 50 years and had to deal with the results of that for 50 years because the devil didn't show them that part. He just showed them the good part, what he called the good part. I don't call it the good part, but what he called the good part. He never shows you the end result. He never shows you the bad. But know this, if the Bible says sin produces death, it always does. It always will. Amen? See. It's real simple. What's wrong with America? Sin. You know, old preacher, he's done gone to heaven now, but an old preacher years ago, Lester Roloff, he said this. I like this. He said, if you want to save America, get America saved. Amen. You want to save America, get America saved. You're not going to save America. I believe we should do all the things that we do, you know, and all. I've never signed so many petitions and contacted so many congressmen and senators as I have in the last 5 years and all my life. I haven't. We should. Our voice should be, we should make our voice known. Right? And you parents, when they're trying to teach your kids some of this damnable stuff, you should be there at the school board meeting and throw a fit. They're your kids. It's our money, and we are paying for it. Right? But the problem with America, which nobody wants to admit, is sin. That's the problem. Sin produces death. Why do we have all the, you know, all the bad things going on in our country? Because of sin. Because of sin. Sin produces death. People say, well, it's just God judging. God doesn't have to judge a thing. All you got to do is just sin. It produces death. Right? I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not that old. I'm old enough, but not that old. But I mean, you just go back just even 20 years ago or 30 years ago, things looked a lot different in America. Just in the last 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, things have changed drastically, and that's because of sin. Are you with me now? Because it always produces death. It never produces anything good. Amen. But the devil tries to make it look good. Now go to Romans, so we're getting ready to close out here. Did you get something today? Well, I'm not done yet, but I want to go to Romans 6, and I want to read this to you and just talk about this just a little bit, and then maybe one last scripture. Romans chapter 6, the way of escape. I'm just talking to you, and we'll see, you know, if we go into this anymore, but you know, there's a way of escape. God always makes a way of escape. And verse 1 of Romans, I'm going to read about 12 verses. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, or God forbid. For how shall we who died to sin live any longer? And how many know we died to sin? Right? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? So when you were baptized in that and you went down to that water, it's like you were going into the watery grave. It's like you had died with Christ, you're being buried with Christ. So therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So when we come out of that baptism water, we're supposed to walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. See, not just in the likeness of the way He was when He was here on earth, but the likeness of His resurrection. You know, when He got resurrected, Jesus could have sinned. But He didn't. But after the resurrection with that glorified body, untouchable by sin. He says, knowing this, this is what you got to know. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Notice, he says our old man, that old you on the inside, was crucified with Christ. Now, what does that tell you? See, I was talking to you earlier about how in your flesh, there's still a weakness there. But the good part is on the inside of you, the spirit man, that old spirit man, that old Jew, has been put to death. See, God's remedy for the old man is not reform him. It's to kill him. We have too many churches today trying to reform people. Right? See, all you got is a reformed sinner. Maybe they don't smoke. Maybe they don't drink. Maybe they don't do all those things. But all they are is reformed. They're not born again. Because God's remedy is not reform the old man, it's kill him. So the real you, come on, this is where the power comes from. The real you has been put to death. That is so good to know. The real you that wanted to sin has been put to death. God has gotten rid of the thing that drove us to sin. Hallelujah. He's done that. Now, he said, verse 6 again, the New King James says that the body of sin might be done away with. Or No, in other words, your body's no longer in control now. See, that the King James says that the body of sin might be destroyed. Well, what that means, when you look it up, it means he'd be rendered inoperative. In other words, living by the flesh was our operating system under the old man. He just let the flesh do whatever it wanted to do. But now that we've been born again, we got a new operating system. If you're a Christian and you're in fellowship with God, you can't be happy sinning. You can't. You can't have peace in your life and joy. You just can't do it. Because your inner man's grieved. Amen. So I like it that God's put to death. Amen. Now, he tells us, I think we'll just read. Let's just read on. Verse 7 says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. How many know when somebody, you go into the funeral home and somebody's laying there in the casket, you know, I don't care what they used to do, they're free from that. Right? You know, maybe they used to drink a lot of beer, you know, or maybe they smoked pot, you know. You can go in there and say, hey, man, have a hit. How many know? It ain't happening. They're dead to that now. That's what happened when you and I got born again. We died to sin. We no longer have a desire for it. Well, there's something inside. Yeah, I know. It's called your flesh. I said it's called your flesh. But here Paul said, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill that. Right? If you walk by your inner man, you won't fulfill that outer man. You won't do that. That's there's power in us today to be free. So we can't just use, it's just the flesh, Pastor. Well, I know I got flesh like you do, but I make it behave. You mean, does it ever mess up? Oh, yeah, it messes up. Sometimes I have to repent, but I don't let it be in control. It's just like a child. It's going to act up. Right? Say, well, if you have these grand visions of I'm going to have 6 children, they're all going to be little angels all the time. You are deceived. I don't care how good they are. They're going to do things that you got to correct. See? And so that's the way your flesh is now. It's not in charge any longer. Glory to God. You are in charge now. The man on the inside, and you tell it what it can have and what it can't have. You're the one that decides. Because it'll get you in trouble. Yeah. See, that's why we got to keep our mind filled with the Word of God and keep our mind renewed. Because your mind makes your decisions in life. See, your spirit, if your spirit was always making your decisions, you'd always do the right things if you're born again. If your body always was making decisions, you'd almost always do the wrong things. But it's your mind that has to be renewed to the Word of God. And it either sides in with the flesh or it sides in with the Spirit. But when it's renewed, it sides in with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, are you with me now? You know, you can be walking down the mall, you know, a guy, you don't go by, I don't even know if there's any men's stores in the mall any longer, but I don't ever go there now, hardly ever. But you go in there and maybe there's a men's store. Used to be one there called Bacharach. I used to like to shop at Bacharach, you know. And you go by there and see that suit on that dummy. And then your flesh says, that'll look better on you than that dummy. Which isn't always true. And so, you say, well, I don't have any money. I mean, I don't have any money. Ah, you got Visa. It's accepted everywhere. No, I made a commitment not to go in debt for stuff like that. Oh, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. How many know who's talking to you right there? That's your flesh. Who's telling you no? Your spirit. Who's going to make the decision? Your mind. Your mind. If your mind hadn't been renewed, it'll side in with the flesh. If it's been renewed, it'll side in with the Spirit. Amen. That's why we have to renew our mind. That's why I'm just going to preach all this right now. Just stay put. That's why David said, listen, he said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, we have to renew our minds. See, prayer is an important part. The Bible tells us in prayer, the Bible, Jesus told his disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. Right? See, what did the Bible say? If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not if we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, we'll be in the Spirit. That's the way most people try to approach that. I'll just live right and then I'll be in the Spirit. No, you be in the Spirit and you'll live right. You got to have the power. So when you do the right things with your life, when you're fellowshipping with God, when you're being in the house of God, when you're worshiping God, when you're tithing, when you're doing the right things that the Bible teaches us to do, you're walking in the Spirit and it gives you power over the flesh. So what about your will? Remember Daniel in the book of Daniel when the king, you know, set all his delicacies and his wine before Daniel? And see, a lot of that stuff was forbidden for the Jews to partake of. It was considered unclean. And this is the king. And he said to, you know, basically this is the, you're going to have to eat this stuff. And the Bible said Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. See, he already had his heart made up. I'm not going to do this. See, did you know your will, God gave it to you? I said, God gave it to you. Why did he give it to you? To use it for good. So you need to learn to set your will in God. You already got to have your mind made up about some things. Right? See, that's why Phyllis won't go. She won't go with me to buy vehicles any longer. The last time she went was like 1980-something. And we were there 2.5 hours. And she said, I'm never going with you again. I'm going to tell you why. Here's why. I go in there already knowing what I'm going to do. I've already done my research, what my vehicle is worth if I'm trading one in, and what theirs is actually worth, and what they can actually honestly sell it to me at and still make they're in to make some money. I'm not against that. So, and honestly, what they can sell that to me for, I actually go in there with that in mind, and I've got my will set. The leather's not going to overpower me. You follow what I'm saying? See, the last time I went, you know, the guy was telling me, I've told him how much I wanted for my bill. Oh, I can't do that. I can't give you, I'd lose money. I said, you won't lose money. I said, you'll take it out there on that lot and sell it for more than what you're giving me for it, even though you say. That's why, oh, I can't do that. Well, all right, bye. That's all. And I, you know, well, wait a minute. well, wait a minute. I thought you just gave me the fine. See, once they realize that you're unmovable, they'll come and meet you unless you're just being stupid. You have to have your will set. This is what I'm going to pay for this vehicle. Now, if you want my money, here it is. If you don't, I'm going down the street. You can't let them ever think that they got you. In other words, you can't ever let them think that I can't live without this vehicle. Oh, I can live without that vehicle. I was living when I got here. When I leave, I'll still be living. If I don't have that vehicle, I'll still be leaving. So you have to do your research. See, that's the way it is with sin. You already have to have your mind. Right? You got to realize I am dead to sin. Right? See, I heard a minister say one time, he said, I got in his elevator. And he said, this woman in there, she goes, you need some company tonight? Now, he's a preacher. He's in a meeting. And he gets in the elevator, and this woman says, would you like to have some company tonight? He said, woman, I'm a dead man. Oh. She said, I'm sorry to hear that. Have you gotten medical help for it yet? Okay, that was over some of y'all's heads, but anyway. That was for the more mature. But he was like, I've died to Christ. And he let her know. See, you already have to have your mind made up. You can't just be, you know, that he had died. He was already dead. He's already dead to sin. He died with Christ. Right? Right? So you have to be that way. You have to be that way about sin. You have to have your mind made up. Amen. Now, all right, let's finish reading this out. Everybody say, I'm dead to sin. And I don't know where we stopped at, but let's go to verse number eight. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death has no longer dominion over him. For that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives unto God. Notice, here's what we have to do. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have to reckon yourself to be dead. This is the way it is. This is the way I count it. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust thereof. Go to John chapter 15. We'll close right here. John 15. I know that you're all excited about the fact you got victory over temptation. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. But it's good to know. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And realize, you know, when that comes, it's the devil enticing your flesh, and your flesh will get you in trouble if you obey it.
Right.
A guy told me one time, he was a minister. I'll never forget him telling me this story. He was a minister, and he had sinned. You know, ministers sin. And he had a one-time affair one day. One time, it wasn't a continual thing, but it doesn't matter. One's too many. And it just destroyed his marriage. It destroyed his ministry. He's out of the ministry. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, I took a job, and he said, I was working, he was welding, and he said, I'm underneath this truck welding, and sweat's just all over me, stuff falling down on my face, and he said, I said to myself, how in the world did I get here? And he said, when I said, all of a sudden, I remembered, oh, I know how I got here. Sin. I mean, it's just not worth it. I know we don't hear much preaching on sin in church any longer, but that's a problem. We don't hear about hell any longer, but that's a problem. All we hear about is grace. Well, grace is great, thank God. But grace is not a license. Grace is an ability. Right? See, that's what the Bible says, that the grace of God's appeared to us that brought us salvation, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Grace is not a license. Grace is a power and ability to be free from it. Amen. That's what Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Amen. Now, in the book of John, chapter 14, look at verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, how do we... We used to have testimony that times years ago in church, and people say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Well, you know how many, you know, God wants more than just, I love you, Lord. I lift my voice. Right? He wants us more than just singing, I love you. How many know what proves we love the Lord? If we keep his commandments. I didn't make this up. He said this. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, that's the one that loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, verse 22, said unto him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If one loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home or our abode with him. He who does not love me, does not keep my words, and the word which is you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So when we say, listen to us, this is the proof that we love the Lord, is when we keep his word. Right? See, it's not just us singing we love the Lord. God wants us to sing, but that's not the proof. I've seen dealt with that in marriage before, where one spouse is beating the other one silly, and they say, but they love me. Well, I don't need that kind of love. If they loved you, they'd cherish you and treat you nice.
Amen.
Amen. And so Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. So the proof, when we say no to temptation and yes to God, it proves we love God. Right? Now, I'm not saying that every time we miss it, we don't love God. But I'm saying at that point, we chose something over Him. We chose to love our flesh more than we did our Father at that point. At that point. You know, God's just looking out for our good. I mean, He knows. He knows what will hurt us and what, you know, what's good for us, right? See, that's why God gave us parents, right? Because we don't know yet. When I was 4 years old, I got mad over something with Mom and Dad. We lived in Winslow, Indiana, behind the Dog and Suds. Anybody old enough remember Dog and Suds? And we lived behind there. And I got mad, and I went out, and I lay down in the street. Now, thank God it was Winslow. I'm glad it wasn't Evansville. If it'd been Evansville, I wouldn't be here today. But Winslow on his back street, there, you know, a car every hour or two, whatever. Now, my dad, I can still see this in my mind, even though I was 4 years old at the time. I can still see it in my mind. He took some really big steps coming my way. He grabbed me by the arm, jerked me off the road, and when we got in the yard, he adjusted that. Absolutely. Now, why did he do that? Because he hated me? No, because he knew I needed to learn a lesson from that, that'll kill you. Amen. See, God wants to be a father to us, right? But you got to let Him father you. Amen.
Right.
You got to let Him. And He will lead you. See, that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He was just simply saying, praying for us to be led by the Spirit of God. God doesn't lead us into temptation, but he's making, if you read that in the Greek, he's simply saying the prayer is for to be live a Spirit-led life, because if you follow the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of flesh. Amen. Did you get something today?
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. I don't know, you know, what your issue is, but I do know this. The book of Hebrews talks about the sin that so easily besets us. There's one that always tries to bring people down. But thank God we've got power.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
That power is on the inside of us. How do we access that power? Well, we do the right things. We spend our days not just doing what the flesh wants, but what the Word of God says and what the Spirit says. When we do that, amen, praise God, we build ourselves up on the inside and we can be strong.
Right.
Hallelujah. Thank God for His Word.
Hallelujah.
I said, thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. Praise God, everybody.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.